When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When the red, red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Another solid afternoon's work as the Addicts run out 3-1 winners over Stoke City, still on track for that record-breaking 138-point season. I'll tell you what, you won't find many betting against it at the moment. Welcome to Charlton Live. Two wins down, 44 left to go. We hit that record-breaking season. It's going to happen. I can feel it in my waters. I was talking about 110 points last week. I think I was really underestimating how the Addicts are going to get on this season. So good evening. Welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes. We're coming to you live from the Valley, home of the Addicts, who have won both of their opening two games back in the Championship. A superb start to the season. Here in the studio to celebrate that with me is Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, buzzing, mate. Buzzing. Absolutely. What did you make it yesterday?
Oh, it was incredible, wasn't it? Yeah. What a day. Great result, great atmosphere. It had everything, didn't it?
Yeah.
All round perfect day.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was enough to lure someone out of their sabbatical. Mark Newbury's had a year off fathering children, which is a tough job, apparently.
No excuse, is it?
No. Mark, hey, it's great to have you back in the studio. How are you doing?
Very well. Fathering children. Can I just say, just for two, I've not just been going around South London fathering children irresponsibly.
Yeah, we put him out to stud.
thank you.
So, great to have you back in the studio to celebrate another wonderful 3 points for the Addicts. We're going to hear the highlights of that win over Stoke City in a few moments' time. We're also, of course, going to hear our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer, the Addicts manager, was kind enough to come and speak to us after the game yesterday. We'll hear that later on in the show. We also want to hear from you guys as well. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show to have your say on yesterday's performance. And also, of course, we want to talk about the end of the transfer window. It slammed shut on Thursday evening. We were so excited because we thought we might actually get a signing whilst we were live on air. It never happened. Berham Kyle came in about 10 o'clock that night. We're still waiting for news on Tomer Hemed as well, but it's been a in my opinion, a very good end of the transfer window for the Addicts. The likes of Josh Cullen coming back, Sam Field and Jonathan Necco on loan from West Brom. Kyle, as we mentioned there, of course, Lyle Taylor still being here, still scoring goals as well for the Addicts after what was a difficult week for him, if we're being honest. So we want to know what you made of the transfer window as well. Are you reassessing how you think the Addicts will get on this season? It's well publicised that Charlton are still the favourites to go down. It's only two games in, but we're looking all right at the moment. So have you reassessed, or are we counting our chickens a little bit too early? Let us know. Email studio at charltonlive.co.uk. Tweet us at Charlton Live. Head over to the Charlton Live forum. As I say, you can have your say. Loads of you already have, so we're going to be coming to as many of those as possible. Hopefully all of them as the show progresses. Lewis, I sort of said it the night before the season started, having watched the Luton Middlesbrough game, that the Championship football is easy for, you know, big dogs like us. Charlton, arguably the biggest club now in the Championship, it would appear, on the field of play. I mean, jokes aside, that was just another brilliant afternoon that we've had to enjoy here at the Valley. We've had quite a few of them over the last few months.
Just a few, yeah. That you could you run out of fingers when you try and count them. I know that, but yeah, it was fantastic. Just all round, the whole day, the fact that the Valley was absolutely rocking, the attendance was brilliant, people coming out in the numbers to support Bowyer and the boys, and the new signings all playing a huge part as well. I thought they all settled in really, really well, the ones that we saw yesterday, and the performance as a whole was brilliant. I mean, Stoke sort of took the kick off and went straight for our goal. It was a little bit like, oh no, here we go again, with the after Blackburn's little bit of dominance last weekend. But taking that out of it, it was I felt like we were just really, really comfortable, and I was not shocked, because I know that we've got it in us to do it, and any side that's managed by Lee Bowyer, I can guarantee that they're going to have enough about them to not know how to lose a game, because that's not what he drills into them day after day on the training ground. And the way that they perform, the professionalism, the youngsters, even, you know, Conor Gallagher yesterday was absolutely exceptional. And just everything about it, I'm like completely buzzing. We're two games in, and I feel like let me just give us a trophy.
It certainly feels like that at the moment, Mark. I mean, you know, as we said, when you make that step up into the Championship, you don't know what to expect, really. When like, you know, a team like Charlton, we've been away for a few years, so to come into the first two games against two teams, and I'm going to make a bold prediction here, aren't going to be the top two at the end of the season in Blackburn and in Stoke, but you're hoping they're probably going to be mid-table style teams, and they're the sort of teams that we want to see how we sort of measure up against them. And two games in, and again, maybe we are counting chickens a little bit too early here, but two games in, we're looking like a side that believes they're in the division, that they belong in the division that they're in currently.
I mean, true. You look at them, those two clubs, they've both spent a fair bit of money in the off-season to, you know, to bring in on transfers. You know, I think it was the value of a Stoke squad was sort of about 12 times what ours was. Mm. And you think to yourself, I think it's, like you said, it's the passion Bowyer instills into all the players. And it gets from working for him. And, you know, yes, we're going to have tougher tests from those two teams. But I think if you get the right mentality and the momentum going, you know, you take the knock back and you just move on. And we've now got some players in the squad, because we've actually got a fairly decent squad. I mean, might be short at right back, but, you know, your players you can put in, you're thinking, you know, if they came in, it's not going to make us any weaker.
It's a nice position to be in, isn't it? I tell you what else is a nice position to be in. We're now 18 games, league games, unbeaten here at the Valley. I can say whoever's next up here, and I should have looked at the fixture list before saying that sentence, because I've forgotten, maybe Brentford, possibly.
Forest,
there we go. Yeah. Forest, they won't fancy coming here. Not at all. So it's a midweek game as well, so that'll be interesting. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights from Valley Pass of yesterday's win over Stoke. Your commentators on Valley Pass were Tom Wallin and Greg Stubley.
To Gregory, or Hogan should I say, who's dropped backwards, and inside to Ince, who's got space to manoeuvre. Tom Ince cutting inside onto his left foot, goes for goal and harmlessly wide, but Charlton maybe allowing Stoke a little bit too much room.
Wilson's underneath it, and then Johnny Williams comes back to recover, and he's got some space halfway inside the Charlton half. Into Lecco, who's just running through the centre circle. You had Solly on the overlap, but goes great to the far side. Lyle Taylor on the edge of the area, up against Barth, the captain, right on the corner of the penalty area. Cuts inside onto his right foot and shoots. Oh,
goal!
It's it!
What a goal!
Taylor with an unbelievable strike from the edge of the box. It was a great ball from Lecco, who came through the centre circle. He had Solly on the overlap on his right, instead chose to go over to the left, and Lyle Taylor
Taylor, who drifted into a bit of space. Bath came to close him down. He stepped inside on his right foot and smashed it past Jack Butland's left-hand post and into the back of the net. And we're just over halfway through this first half, and Charlton 1-0 up.
If there was going to be a man who's going to open the scoring, it just had to be Lyle Taylor. It was an outrageous strike from the Charlton striker.
Right-hand side with Stoke, and now Gregory gives it to Tomlinson, and he comes over to this near side, and Ward, the left-back. Lecco comes out to close him down, but Ward's able to get a curling ball in, and it bounces off the penalty spot, and it's pinging around, and it bounces to Klukas, and then, oh, it's off the bar from Scott Hogan, right-footed, the edge of the six-yard box. The ball just broke to him. There is now a break in play as Charlton have won a throw-in, I think, although Williams is down. But the ball broke to Gregory in the exit of the six-yard box. He smashed it towards the far corner, and it bounced off the cross in the air, and Lindsay's able to get there first. But Gallagher, with a crunching tackle on him, wins the ball, but it bounces all the way through to Butland, who left-footed out by the corner flag, lofts it long, looking for Hogan, who flicks it on well to Tom Ince. Ince up against three Charlton players. Does get a left-footed shot in. It's a fantastic strike. 36 minutes gone and Stoke are level. It was a counter-attack and Tom Ince has smashed that home from the edge of the box. Phillips perhaps could have done better, but Stoke are now level.
Yeah, hell of a strike. Two fantastic goals that have not separated because they're level now, but two strikes that have just shown what kind of a game this has been. Charlton will be so disappointed though. It's just a long kick from Butland. I think Hogan did well to get the better of Lockyer, and the ball just bounced down nicely for Ince on his left foot. Charlton maybe could have been a little bit quicker to get to him and block it, and Phillips just was retrieving in his goal and just didn't get his angles quite right, and it just took an absolutely outrageous strike from Ince just to beat him. But Charlton shouldn't be too concerned. They've started this game well. It's been a good match. But they are level now, and it's up to the Addicts to go again.
Yeah, I wonder if the Stoke goal has just knocked Charlton's confidence a little bit, because we were growing into the game. We seem to slow down, and that's a poor pass from Lockyer as Gregory's able to come away, breaks into the penalty area. Solly's managed to get back, and Gregory turns and fires it, and it's off the post, and it's bounced back into the area, and Tom Ince, with his back to goal, he's got Josh Cullen and Purrington. He manages to get the ball in, and then Prattley stabs it away, and it's going to be a Stoke corner.
They might be beaten by the clock here, Stoke, unless they get it forward quickly over on that far side. Smith chips it in, and they find it, and it's bounced into the box, and there's a shot, and it's straight at Dylan Phillips, who holds on to it. I think the final shot did come from Smith, an unlikely source, and the referee does call an end to that, and I think Charlton will probably be glad of the whistle.
Danger with the throw in, level with the edge of the penalty area, plays it into Klukas, who runs along the byline and then taps it into the middle. Oh, and it's a gilt-edged chance for Lee Gregory on the edge of the 6 yard box. He smashed it over the bar. Josh Cullen has gone down here for Charlton and has stayed down, but what a gilt-edged chance for Lee Gregory, and a player of his shot quality should be putting that away.
Well, the reason he's put it over is because of that pressure from Cullen. It was a sliding challenge and just put Gregory.
But Charlton are able to come away through Lecco, and now can we see his pace as he bursts away from two Stoke players. Well, and then gives it out to Johnny Williams, and he's carrying on the overlap as well, Lecco. But Williams is keeping the ball and cuts inside, and Lecco's run allows him to do so, and he skips past three players, and Gallagher's got space to shoot. Ooh. On the edge of the area, and the effort is high and wide, but lovely attacking, counter-attacking play from Charlton.
Have a chance to break here. Solly's throw was headed back by Lindsay, but Gallagher's won
great
it back
ball.
And Taylor's on the overlap, and Taylor's through on goal here as he approaches the edge of the area. He's got Lecco in the middle. The ball takes a deflection. Oh, and Lecco can't get there ahead of Butland, who was out quickly. On the edge of his 6 yard box, but that was millimetres away from being the perfect ball into
Lecco. Gallagher keeping in for Charlton. He's under a bit of pressure, flicks it on towards Pierce. Little flick forward towards Williams.
Williams
is
away.
Williams in the penalty area, collects. Williams skies past Allen. No, Williams!
Oh.
Can Gallagher get on a retrieving ball? He can, but further wide. Gallagher, ball into Cullen. Cullen has got Prattley behind him. Cullen into the penalty area. Cullen still, ball across goal, goes Williams. And then he can!
There's been a couple of opportunities in the last few minutes where Johnny Williams has got to that byline, and the first ball obviously went out of play. You could see the crowd were pleased with the effort. You could see that that tactic had worked. So again, when the ball came out, Gallagher again found Williams down on that side, and this time again the ball was blocked out. But when Cullen got back there, the ball was just played back into the middle of the penalty area, and there on the penalty spot was Chuck Sanike, who calmly right-footed slotted it again into Butland's left-hand post. A fantastic goal. And Charlton are 2-1 up.
As Charlton sends players forward, they have sent in a third here, the Addicts. Cullen to take.
Cullen towards the near post to Taylor. Little flick.
Surely!
Gallagher!
Yeah! Gallagher!
Oh, my word!
Taylor Child with three. Stoke one off the training ground. A lovely little corner from Josh Cullen. Finds Lyle Taylor. Flip back to Conor Gallagher. And what a way to open your league account.
Well, I can't believe it. The corner from that far side was low, fired along the floor from Josh Cullen. As you say, a training ground move in towards the byline. Taylor with a little flick back towards the penalty spot. And this time it was Conor Gallagher stepping in. First time, right-footed strike, curling away from Jack Butland and into the top right-hand corner of the net. And on 83 minutes, the Addicts here lead Stoke 3-1.
To Verlinden. And there is the full-time whistle as Chowan again just defy one incredible team. Lee Bowyer, Steve Gallen, Johnny Jackson have assembled by beating Stoke by 3-1.
Absolutely buzzing with that result. It was a superb performance, superb commentary there from Valley Pass, from Tom and from Stubbers as well. Lewis, I think they summed up nicely that joy when those second and third goals in particular went in. Again, I mean, that covered end was just bouncing.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it was brilliant. And obviously I sat up there as well, so I can confirm it was definitely bouncing. I've got a couple of marks on my shins, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the way that second half progressed, and, you know, we saw that chance that we heard there from Lee Gregory. It sounds like he does have a habit of missing, like, scores a few goals when he was at Millwall, but he does have a habit of missing chances. And we saw that again yesterday, although I think Josh Cullen did really well to put him off. But after that, we just saw a little bit of a switch from Bowes. I think he went up to the diamond again. And we started to take control of the game. We saw those chances for Lecco. We saw a long shot from Gallagher that went over. But moves that were starting to come together. And it led to that goal from Chuck Sanike being on the pitch for 5 minutes. And all of a sudden you think, here we go again.
Yeah, and I agree with you there in terms of, I thought apart from the, after their goal and a little bit at the start of the game, I felt we controlled it completely in large periods. I thought that we were dominant in midfield, which was something that we struggled with at Blackburn last weekend. Obviously, we didn't have the bodies that we have now then, but it's still an improvement and just and clinical finishing. I mean, I know we had sort of four shots on target yesterday, three of them hit the back of the net. Stoke had about 10, I think, and, well, he scored one. So we were more clinical. We were taking our chances. We played some fantastic football. And, yeah, the relief of getting that, not just the second, but the third goal, because I know we've always, in last season especially, we've sort of struggled to get that two-goal cushion, and it seems to be the Charlton way as you head into the closing stages of a game to have, you know, a slim lead, and there's always the ridiculously long added time that feels 10 times longer than it actually is because you're worried that they're gonna concede late on. But a really professional performance, you know, it was fantastic, and I'm just so proud because, you know, people are writing us off left, right, and centre. And yeah, they wouldn't be writing us off now if they said. And not even just, it's not even like we're getting lucky. We're playing really, really well. At Blackburn, of course, we were against the ropes quite a bit. But you still have to have the game about you to deal with that. And we did. And then yesterday, it was a lot more like business resumes to last season. We dominated large spells of the game. We looked comfortable on the ball. Our passing was fantastic and accurate. A couple of wobbly stages passing out from the back. But Lockyer and Piercy are obviously a new partnership. It's going to take time for that to gel, but all in all, just fantastic. And if, you know, we carry on the way we're going, it's going to be lovely season.
Yeah,
lovely stuff.
There's some interesting comments from Lee Bowyer in our interview that we'll hear later on about playing out from the back and the fact that we did lose the ball a couple of times. But I think we'll talk about that later. I mean, also, Mark, when you've made that step up in a division, you're always going to be worrying, are our quality players enough? Are they good enough to make that step up with us? Are we going to have the creativity to unlock teams with better defences than the ones we saw in League One? And let's talk us through that third goal, because that was incredible bit of creativity. Clearly something they've worked on the training grounds, clearly took Stoke by surprise, and clearly shows that we've got the players who can unlock defences like that from a set piece.
Yeah, reading today saying that Johnny had watched some Stoke games and saw how they set themselves up at corners, and he'd seen a vulnerability and said exactly, you know, what they'd practiced on the pitch, on the training pitch, they pulled off perfect, you know. So, and it's, you know, credit to Jacko for that. Quality of players, but we've got, you know, Johnny Williams, you know, and he was class last year, and in this league, he just looks just beautiful. You know, he gets the ball. I mean, when he was wiped out, I think everyone just sort of like held their collective breath that he got up again. But, you know, you've got players there, and Pratley's really underrated, I think. He does the dirty job. He gets the ball, he puts his face in, he puts his boot in, and then you've got Cullen, who we know has got, you know, a Premier League pedigree, even though, you know, he wasn't with us last year. And on the 86th minute, he's still sprinting after someone to get the ball. And I'm thinking to myself, that's someone who's put everything on the line there. So I think we do have some, you know, quality. And of course, Lyle's, you know, with all his assists and goals, there's no reason that he couldn't have stepped into this division anyway. If we hadn't gone up, you know, we'd have lost him and he'd been in this league anyway. So...
Yeah, I mean, Lyle Taylor, speak about him then, because of course, I mean, his future was very much in doubt last week, and I think it became clear from what Lee Bowyer said on Friday during press day that the player, you know, he was given a huge opportunity at another club, and, you know, it's a short career. You can't blame him if he thought, you know, I might need to go and secure my future at a club that will probably pay me a hell of a lot more than Charlton do, but... You know, the fact is we weren't in the position to sell him. We had to keep him. And then it can sort of go one of two ways there. But with Lyle Taylor, I think it was only ever going to go the right way. You know, he could sulk around. He could, you know, almost down tools as such when it comes to playing on the pitch. But Lee Bowyer says he came to him on Friday morning and said, look, I'm going to do my best for you. I'm still going to go out and score you goals and get you assists. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, I'm so, so pleased that he got that first goal yesterday. Fairly typical bit of Lyle Taylor brilliance. You know, he's played into the channel. He cut inside. He had his shot. Goalkeeper, my initial reaction, having seen it on Quest, was he might have done better. Although Mark sort of said off air, maybe he was unsighted slightly. But however it's gone in, I mean, that's huge for Lyle Taylor. Just, you know, as I said on first day, what Lyle Taylor loves is being loved and scoring goals and getting the adulation from the crowd. And he got it straight away. So now he's probably back in high spirits again.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's a big credit to Lyle Taylor as a human, in terms of that obviously he is going to be disappointed naturally. You know, you can't hold grudges if he did want to, you know, sort of put his profession elsewhere in terms of finding a club that maybe if it is a life-changing move for him. You know, I think he's in a good place where he is now, but it ultimately isn't down to me. In terms of, it's the same in any profession where if you're offered a job in any profession and it's better for you financially and you feel like there's something in progression, then anyone is gonna, you know, is gonna take it up. And Lyle Taylor's profession is football, and that's what he would choose to do. In terms of that, he didn't get the move, and he sort of went straight back into that side yesterday. It could have gone one or two ways, but with Lyle Taylor, I always knew that it would go the way that we wanted it to. I think he's a professional, like you say. He likes to be loved. He likes to be adored. And not turning up and being the normal Lyle Taylor isn't going to help anybody out. It's not going to help him out. It's not going to help us out or any of his future prospects. You know, if he does look for his football elsewhere, then we have to say fair enough. But I'd like to think that now he is with us until January, there's no reason why we won't be sitting above Brentford in January. And you might think, you know what, I'm going to stay here. You know, there's such potential with this football club. Of course, we know that we have certain restraints financially and in terms of resources, but the ambition's there now. You know, maybe this time last week we were looking around at the bodies and thinking this could be a struggle, but now we've got reinforcements in, good quality players have coming in, the recruitment of Bowyer and Gallen is paying off, and Lyle Taylor will look at that and think, actually, you know what, I can do really well here. And he is loved by the crowd, and I'm glad that he's with us at least until January. I'd like to think beyond that, but I just want to see him do a job between now and then.
Now, one of the new recruits that did get a game yesterday, of course, Jonathan Lecco, came on loan from West Bromwich Albion. Sort of when you look at the comments from the fans of the club that he's come from, that's sort of the gauge you're going to get, really, when it's a player you don't know that well, to be honest. And you see one, and by saying it himself, like, he's a player who's explosively quick, very unpredictable, perhaps needs to work on his end products. And I think we saw that in spades yesterday, particularly in the first half. There was a couple of runs down the right-hand side, one of which would lead to a ball that was passed straight to the opposition, one of which would lead to quite a decent cross into the area. That one in the second half where he was bearing through on goal, slight deflection on the cross that was coming towards him, possibly took it away from him a little bit as well. But there was certainly a player there when he picked up the ball, Mark. You're thinking, right, what's going to happen here? It's either going to be rubbish or it's going to be something quite exciting here. And that's sort of something you look forward to seeing, a player who's so unpredictable like that.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was watching him in the warm-up and he was at the back of a group and he just looked sort of like lethargic and not bothered and not warming up properly. When you see sort of the Pierces and the Lockyers really sort of like warming up properly, and he's at the back just shaking a leg out here and there and thinking, oh, you know, what kind of, is he that kind of player? But as soon as he gets the ball and he's looking to go and he's looking to sort of like beat his man, he's looking for some space. When, like you said, he'd done some early passes and looking to move. Yes, he fell over a couple of times, you know, but I think if he's going to get those balls, and it was a lovely ball over the top for Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, a real kind of, just got the loft on it perfectly. And, you know, Bo's right. And in Bo we trust. Simple as that, really.
It's just, when I saw the player at first yesterday and I saw him, he's the player who likes to take on the opposition and run past him. Yeah, my initial thought was, he's going to be a Callum Harriet. He's going to hold on to the ball too long and it's going to wire me up. But actually, there was quite a few times where literally he took one or two steps on the ball and then passed it early as well. So I'd like to think he's got a bit more of a range in how he's going to play the game. He's not always going to run, because sometimes he will run into cul-de-sacs, but sometimes he will take on players.
He tracked back. He did track back quite a bit giving Solly a hand out. Because, I mean, Ince is a handful.
And again, that's something that Bayer did say during the week, that he'll have to learn that other part of his game. So that's good that he's starting to learn it already as well, because you need that. We are going to need that in the championship, no matter what happens. So he was replaced by Anike. So let's talk just a little bit more about his goal, because we've just seen that brilliant run into the box from Johnny Williams, a direct run towards the byline, towards almost the corner of the 6-yard box, and his cross sort of came back to him. But then Josh Cullen tried exactly the same thing, and you drill a low ball into the box, it could go anywhere. And if you're Chucks and EK, you see Cullen getting towards that byline, you think, you know what, I'm just going to pull off a little bit here, just be in a little bit of space. If I get some luck here, I might get a goal 5 minutes into my debut. How big is that, Lewis, for a player who's making that step up two divisions for him? He was in League Two last season with Milton Keynes, scored 19 goals. But you go into, again, he might be thinking, oh, footballers might not think like this. They might be Billy Big Potatoes themselves. But he might be thinking, oh, I need to get a nice early goal here just to show everyone and myself that I belong in this division. And you couldn't ask for a better chance, really, to come 5 minutes into your championship debut.
Definitely not. It's not a bad way to state your claim, is it? I think, you know what, with Chucks, especially pre-season as well, I was really impressed with his all-round play. And obviously, he picked up a couple of niggles in terms of his hamstring going at Gillingham and then again at Villa. But I thought in the Villa game, he gave their midfield, he gave Hirohane, he gave Mings and Ezri Konsa a really, really tough game. And he's strong, he's athletic, he's quick. He's good on the turn. He obviously fits well in that number 10 position as well. And I thought when he came on yesterday, he has a quality in terms of holding the ball up and bringing people into the game. And what a finish as well. He just shows that he's got it all, was really, in terms of, a lot of the time you get these big physical players that maybe haven't got the finish about them or the pace. They're sort of just they sort of play the assist, don't they? They play the target man. But it feels like he's got all of that. He can hold the ball up when needed and sort of take the pressure off of the game a little and keep hold of the ball, but then at the same time he can drive at players. And I thought yesterday when he came on, it was a real glimmer of how good he could be, and he's taken that step up. You know, he's got a lot of goals last season for MK as well, and I think he's a really positive addition to the squad, and the options that we have there now are brilliant. You know, if we get Tamer Hemed in this week, fingers crossed as well, you've got Anike, you've got Taylor, Lecco can play there as well, so you've got a lot of bodies that can fit in there, and it will suit, because we're going to have to change system a couple of times this season to suit. We saw it yesterday where we started as sort of the 4-2-3-1 with the number 10 and then reverting back to a diamond. It's good to have the players that can sort of move around there, and obviously with Lecco pushing wide as well, it's just good we've just got real a bit more of a squad behind us, you know, something we're not used to, having some numbers.
And a manager who's not afraid to tweak things as well. And exactly. I know I sound like a broken record talking about that, because of what we were stuck with. The manager before, who had a system that did work at times, but sometimes he wasn't quite ready to tweak it when he needed to. Although I think he's learned from his lesson there, because he does seem to do that a bit more at Oxford now. Obviously, there's going to be downsides every game. We conceded a goal yesterday, perhaps a slight wake-up call as to what happens if you give the quality of players in the championship half a yard of space. It was a flick on from Lee Gregory, came to Tom Ince, and perhaps might have caught Dylan slightly Slightly slow-footed, perhaps, on his near post there. But it was a good effort from long range. We also saw, you know, a couple of chances where they hit the post where, you know, we were playing out from the back. Tom Lockyer gave a dodgy pass away. There was a couple of times in the first half where we tried to play it out from the back and didn't get away from it. With it, although, like I say, Boya says some interesting stuff about that. I mean, basically, you do have to understand that if we are always going to try and play it long in this division, the ball's going to be coming back more often than we want it to. And in that case, you do put yourself under more pressure. So by learning to play out from the back, you will eventually start keeping more possession. It's just obviously at times yesterday, Mark, we sort of didn't at times.
Yeah, a couple of times where you go to yourself, look, I know it's probably going to come back, but it might stick if we pick up a second ball in midfield. I mean, Lyle, you know, he gets battered every time a ball comes to him up front. That's why I'm thinking I would have liked to stick an Eke on a bit earlier. And so that if you are hitting it a bit longer, because he's going to be a lot harder to knock over. But yeah, passing it across side to side. And the new kick-off from the goal kick where you can have a defenders in the penalty area. But all it's going to do is encourage other teams to push up onto your midfield and up. So you're going to end up hitting it long anyway.
Well,
so
I think eventually once your passing's right on point, and again, I think this is what Bayer probably sort of says in the interview, but once you start getting the passing right, that will work because players will push up. There'll be spaces to utilise. It's just the fact at the moment we still seem to just getting used to it. And then we saw a couple of loose passes. We saw it last week at Blackburn early on when Naby got caught out and ended up giving away a free kick and getting booked. You know, it's sort of thing. But at the same time, like I say, I think you have to do it. You have to be able to keep the ball in the high intensity football that you have in the Championship. We have to be able to keep the ball because the more the other team has it, the more tired you get trying to chase it. So it's that interesting balance that you need to find. And Libo will bring that up now in the interview that we're about to hear. Don't forget, you can have your say. Plenty of you people have already tweeted in, which we're going to be coming to after we hear from Libo. So you can tweet us at Charlton Live. The email address is studio@charltonlive.co.uk. The Charlton Live forum has got a thread on there for tonight's show as well. Talk about yesterday's performance. Have you reassessed where you think Charlton might be able to finish this season? And also, we want to know what you've made of our transfer window now that it's slammed shut on Thursday evening, although there is still that slight question mark over Brighton and Hove Albion striker Tommy Ahmed, who may have signed for us or may not have. The FA are going to be looking at the times of something or other. Lord knows how that works. I did ask someone at the club, and apparently there's some sort of like online portal. Like, I don't know, it might be like, if it's anything like some of the online portals I have to use at work, it probably crashed 10 times. Yeah. But presumably, it must be fairly easy to just look at a timestamp and when someone pressed a button. But who knows, the FA are going to try and work that out, or EFL, whoever's in charge, they're going to try and work that out at the start of next week. Well, let's have a listen to Lee Bowyer, the Addicts manager, kind enough to come and speak to Charlton Live for an exclusive interview after the win over Stoke City here at the Valley. He came to speak to Tom Wallin, and the Addicts boss was once again pleased with what he saw on the pitch yesterday afternoon.
I think from start to finish, I think we was good. We tried to play the right way, tried to play from the back. We created our own problems at times, but we have to accept that that's going to happen. You know, these are all good teams that we're playing against with very good players, and so we have to be brave, because if we just play long ball, we're never going to win a game. So yes, we'll lose it at times, but more times than not we'll get out and we'll get up the other end through playing football. So again, I think overall on the 90 minutes I felt we deserved to win the game.
I think Stoke started quickly, but they didn't create a huge amount, and then we grew into the half. I thought, is that what we're going to have to do this season? Be a bit patient, suss out the opposition, because we are up against better quality teams now.
Yeah, we just have to be better out of possession. I felt that last season we was a little bit open when we lost possession of the ball, and we can't do that here. We learnt that against Villa the other week. If as soon as you lose it, it's a goal. And again today we got a bit of luck, they hit the woodwork a couple of times, but I think it evened itself out. I think we went through 2v1 once and it got a ricochet off the fella and went to their goalie. That would have been a goal. Lowe went through at the end there, he was 2 yards onside, 1v1 with the keeper, would have scored. So we could have even scored more, you know. So I thought it was quite even. First half especially, second half I thought once we matched them up in the diamond, then I thought we took control of the game. said at half time, I felt that we were sharper than them. So if we did match them up, then I felt that we'd go on and win the game, and thankfully that worked.
Jonathan Lecco obviously signed in this week, and you spoke when he signed, I think, about the pace. He looked to show that in that first half with some great runs, and then obviously almost scored in the second half. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I thought he'd done very well. I thought all the young lads, all the new signings, I thought they brought a lot of energy. I said Jonathan is a bit unpredictable, and that's something that we need, because we need to be unpredictable. You know, like we've played two games now, and we've played four different formations during them games. So we have to try and keep people guessing, and that's the way Jonathan plays. I couldn't tell you what he's going to do next time he gets the ball. I don't think he could tell you what he's going to do. But I know one thing, he's going to excite people, and he's going to take people on, and he's going to make something happen. I think every time he was 1v1, he went past the fella. Mm. So, we have to work on his end product. I know that. If we didn't, then he wouldn't be it. He'd be at West Brom playing every week. So, he brings us something different. So I'm looking forward to him, to improving him.
Yeah, another of our attacking threats, and one we know obviously very well, Lyle Taylor. He's had a tricky week, you might say. I don't want to touch too much on that, really, other than to say what a way to end it with a fantastic strike to put us in front.
Yeah, great strike. Got the assist. Wiped his socks off. Left everything there. They're on the pitch again. Lyle deserves all the praise he gets, you know. It would have been difficult for him the last few days. I know it's been difficult for him. He had a club that was interested in him to give him a life-changing opportunity. Mm. And he wasn't in control of it. I wasn't in control of the outcome. So, thankfully for us, he's still here. But for Lowe, it would have been difficult to get your head around that. And I think he's handled it really well. When we was walking around there at the end, I said, like, you deserve everything you get, you know, because to just switch off from what's happened and then come and do what he's just done today just shows that he does love being here and he does want to keep just winning and scoring goals. That's what he's good at. So, I'm really, really happy for Lyle today.
What did you say to them at half-time? Because the game, first half, ended at a frantic pace. They obviously hit the bar, they hit the post, they got themselves back level through Tom Ince, and I felt that was possibly the only part of the game where they were perhaps starting to dominate. What did you say to them at half-time? Because when we came out, as you said yourself, we looked, I thought, the better side in that second half.
Yeah, I just said to them, believe in yourselves and pass with a purpose, and we can't just go long. We are a good side, you are all good players, and... But I knew once we matched them up, then that was it. And we pressed them better. They pressed in numbers, which obviously affected them. Then they started to go long a lot. And then we was picking up the first ball, second ball. And then once we matched them, then that was it. I thought we just took full control. They didn't. I can't remember them really doing anything.
No, and as I say, even in that first half, apart from the goal, didn't think they created a huge amount. The second goal, obviously, to put us back in front. Anike, Williams, Cullen with the build-up, a lovely move.
Yeah, I have to say the ref done well. Johnny got fouled and then he let the play the advantage. So the ref done well for us there. So if I criticise refs, I'm going to tell them when they do well as well. So he done well. And Johnny, I thought he was outstanding again today. His work rate as well as in possession is improving every game. So... Chucks, I said to him, when you go on, look, if you get a chance, just pass it. Just pass it in the corner, and that's exactly what he done. So I'm glad he's listening. We work so hard as a team, defensively and going forward, that we are a threat, you know. And I keep telling the players, this is what I have to keep telling them all the time, reminding them, like, you are good. But it's difficult because then I don't want them to get too ahead of themselves, you know, and take the foot off the pedal. So it's a fine balance to keep the feet on the ground, but tell them how good they are. So it's, but at the moment we're doing well.
On that keeping their feet on the ground, obviously when that second goal went in, for about 10 minutes after the place was absolutely rocking. Yeah. Do you just get them to thrive off that atmosphere, or is it difficult to focus the team in that instant? Or do you just get
them to
feed off
it? They can't hear me. I'm trying to shout things on and they can't hear. So I'd much rather that than it be quiet here at the Valley. So again, the fans are real, bands in the place, bands. I love seeing it. You know, it's great. And as a player, I can assure you that they love it as well. It just gives them that extra yard. It does. So that fans know that now. They've seen it many, many times now in the short space I've been in control. So, but yeah, hopefully they're going home happy again. And like I said to the players, like, to play here with the fans we have, and once we get them singing, like, we ain't going to lose too many. Like, I honestly believe that. We lost two last season.
Yeah.
Listen, it's going to be tougher this season. I get that. It's going to be hard to stay in the division. But like, this is where we're going to win a lot of our games, I believe. So, yeah. So thank you again to the fans for singing their hearts out.
Conor Gallagher, I think he needed that goal to prove what performance he had. I thought he was outstanding anyway. But then to get on the end of that goal as well, I think his professional debut, if I'm right, and a brilliant, I think, training ground move. So credit to Jacko for that one.
Yeah, Jacko and Marsh, I take all the praise for that. And Brett, they work really hard on set pieces and trying to find weaknesses in the opposition. And that was definitely one that they worked on yesterday. And what you just watched there, I watched yesterday exactly to a T. The layoff for the outside of the foot, the ball from Josh bouncing in front, everything. The finish. Like, everything was just the same. And set pieces are a massive part of the game, you know. And so, yeah, to score two set pieces already this season is very good.
Obviously, transfer window, I think we did pretty well that final day. Some good signings brought in, but there's still one that's kind of a bit outstanding with Hemed. Is there any update on that at all that you can give us?
No, we're positive that we might get the right result.
Okay.
And, right decision, sorry. It's over to the EFL or FL, whoever's in charge of what's going on, but we feel like we put the document through on time. So it's just a process now and they're checking. And so it's a lot of backwards and forwards, but we're confident that we'll get the right decision.
As always, games come thick and fast. Got Forest Green on Tuesday back here. Expect changes for that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. A few of the youth players?
A lot of changes, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's still players that need to get minutes. You know, Jake Forsakowski needs minutes.
Will we see any of the other new signings, do you think, Tuesday?
Who didn't play today?
Field, maybe?
Field to play, yeah.
Yeah.
Field to play, yeah. He needs minutes because he hasn't played much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he'll play, Jake will play. George, Albie, we'll change a lot.
And it's going to break for Vetticelli again in the area. Cross ball to Taylor! It's 3-1! And Charlton are running away with it here in the Valley!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. We just heard there from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, who was kind enough to come and speak to Tom Wallin exclusively for Charlton Live after the win against Stoke City yesterday. Yeah, some interesting stuff. So as I said, talk about that playing out from the back, which we talked about. Talked about Jonathan Lecco. Praise Jacka, of course, for the work they did on the set-piece routine that led to Conor Gallagher's third goal. You can't believe your luck that we've stumbled across a manager who's been so successful at this early stage of his career, Lewis, because, I mean, you didn't know what you were going to get from Lee Bowyer, and we seem to have unearthed a bit of a gem there.
Just a bit. I feel extremely lucky to have Lee Bowyer managing my football club. I just think that the whole feel of the place, not even just on the pitch, but just around the whole club, in terms of, obviously we know what's going on upstairs, we're not overly happy with, of course, but in terms of people coming back to the Valley to watch games, in terms of loud vocal away followings, and in terms of the football we play as well, and just the real togetherness, I just feel like the people sat in the stands are 100% behind the people kicking the ball on the pitch, and 100% behind Bowyer, behind Jacko. Steve Gallen obviously is doing an absolutely sensational job with both hands and his feet tied behind his back, and Marshy with the keepers, just all of it. I just feel like the whole mix of everything is working so well, and it shows just why we went into such a meltdown when it looked like we were losing him in June. Mm. I think it's just he is so important. I can't remember there being a manager, especially in this day and age, that is so important to his football club. I just think that Lee Bowyer is such a special manager, and you know, Mourinho calling himself the special one. He doesn't got a touch on Bowyer. Bowyer's leagues away. I just incredibly lucky because he didn't see himself in the game. It's not just a fairy tale for us, it is for him as well, because he's leading the club out. He started as a boy at Wembley back in May. We're in the Championship now. Massive underdogs. We're two games, two wins. And it's just brilliant. It's what a story. And just amazing.
Lee touched upon as well himself, Mark, the fact that, you know, we only lost here twice last season in the league. The fans are superb again, absolutely brilliant yesterday, and they do make it a hard place for opposition teams to come to. But, you know, realistically, this is where we are going to have to pick up the majority of our points if we are going to reach that safety mark this season. And the crowd, the players seem to thrive off what they provide them.
You know, I think he manages really sort of like how he played as a player. I mean, he was always 100% player, you know, right or wrong. You know, he's put in some bad tackles, like you said, and, you know, been sent off for other things. But he was always 100%. I think it's 100% he gives it as a manager. And I think when you see your manager doing that, I think that makes you surely make you as a player want to work that bit harder. Because, you know, he said he is a midfielder by trade, so he looks at midfield in a particular way and he can pick up. And then, because he came through us, he knows what the crowd can be like, and he's right. You know, it does give you. I think if we went behind, I don't think it's a group of fans at the moment which would be on the back straight away. You can point to half a dozen clubs in this league which, well, as soon as they go behind, their fans are on their backs straight away. I think with us, I think if we go behind, I think we'll just get louder. Mm. I think and we'll try and lift the players that way.
It's a big if, of course, because that's not going to happen at any point in the season. But right, let's have a listen to some of your views as well. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on tonight's show about the transfer window and about the performance here at the Valley yesterday. Richard Holmes was the first one to get in touch last night. He says, we rode our luck in the first half, but our clinical finishing brought us home in the second. The signing from Chelsea looks very useful, and Cullum is prem class. Yeah, I mean, a bit more on Conor Gallagher. Lewis, he got his first goal in the end of his first senior start in senior football. He must be very pleased with how that's gone.
Oh, unbelievable. I think you could see how much it meant to him in that celebration and to us as well, really. But what a player. When he came in against Blackburn last week, we saw real glimmers of a player that he could be, and he impressed me in his little cameo appearance up there. Yesterday, to see him in the starting 11, I would say at first I was thinking I didn't quite expect him to start. I can see why Bowyer picked him now. In Bowyer we trust. He was brilliant. So just head screwed on, played really smart passages of play, didn't give away the ball cheaply. He tracked back, he worked hard, and obviously read that little set play perfectly to ping it into the top corner, and he really did deserve a goal yesterday. Yeah. Really deserved it.
Yeah, Liam says, how have West Brom allowed such a talent out on loan? I hope there is not a recall clause for Jonathan Lecco. Also, Prattley, what an unsung hero. He does the dirty work that no one really mentions it. Mark mentioned it. Yeah, well done, Mark. He said, I'm not really happy about their goal. I think Dylan has to do better this year. Mr. Dinage says, our spine was fantastic yesterday. Pearce and Lockyer look like they have played together for years. Prattley and Cullen bring such quality in pressing and passing. Gallagher was great in and out of possession, and Taylor is deadly up top. And then he just says Johnny Williams was absolute fire. CFC Ollie says Tom Lockyer was class, very good with his feet and very quick. I think he's just as good as Bauer, has potential to be better, which is a bold statement. For our attack is stronger than last season. Impressed with the quick movements from Lecco and Conor Gallagher. You would have thought Cullen has been with us all pre-season. He's slotted in like he was there throughout. We're going to surprise teams. I think we can get top half of the table for sure. Optimistic, but we can only dream. Great to have Charlton Live back. Missed the first lot of podcasts. This is my first one back that I'm listening to this season. Come on, you Reds. We're in for a good season. Can't talk about every individual, but what I can say, it was an amazing team performance. Everyone there gave their heart and soul out on the pitch. Yeah, certainly did. Cheers for your tweets in there, Ollie. Tom says, a slow start in the first half and we were lucky to go in at half-time level. The second half was a complete change. You can tell Boya really got into them at half-time. The second half was like watching the liquid football of Brazil in the 1970s. Let's keep it going at Barnsley. Come on, you Reds. Right, Mark's getting involved. Hi, guys. Hope you're all good. Yesterday was a thoroughly enjoyable team performance. There were some nervous moments, but 100% we deserved the win. Williams and Lecco were exciting. Taylor and Cullen, solid indeed. Brilliant to have the new signings off the mark. I have said it already yesterday, but we'll say it again today. We have a team that should not be getting into a relegation battle this season. Playing some really lovely stuff. Boya and Gallen are absolute geniuses. The quick team gel is impressive too. Bob Liscombe, I know it's only two games and there is a long way to go, but I have a good feeling about this team. Could we do a double promotion? Mark, I'll direct that question towards you.
Yes, we could.
I mean, literally, we could.
Yeah, we could. Are we going to? You know, stranger things have happened.
Can't wait to cut this out when we get relegated at the end of the season.
But won't make the best bits.
Yeah. Thing is, I mean, I'd sometimes look at players we've got and compare them to players we've had in the past. And Gallagher just reminded me a bit of Scotty Parker yesterday.
Yeah, I saw someone else say that as well. Yeah, that's an interesting.
Not just the Alice band. It was just the box to box. Yeah. And, you know, committed.
He's already flounced off to Chelsea as well, so he's got that out of his system.
And then Cullen reminds me a bit of Mark Kinsella, which I think is good as a compliment. You can play the man. Because the way he moves the ball around, and, you know, again, he's doing the job, and he's watching, and he's got a football brain.
Yeah, mature 23-year-old Josh Cullen. I've got the impression the way he interacts with us behind the scenes as well, the way he plays on the pitch. He's very good interview he gave to us for BBC Radio London yesterday, which you can hear online as well. And you can read what he had to say after the game in the paper tomorrow as well. So yeah, very, very impressed with Josh Cullen. And as someone said earlier, it was like he'd never gone away. No. And he slotted back in so nicely. Well, Ev, a good evening to you all. What a superb and sublime performance yesterday. And my belief that we would make the playoffs is steadfast. With the loan signings yet to gel, we have one hell of a decent squad. Let's keep the positivity and, as I say, keep the faith. We will shock a lot of teams we face this season. I can see a unit of winners here and a friendship amongst the squad. These qualities, along with the skill and determination, we will at least be top six, but I'm going for top two. The last time we won our opening two games in the Championship, we were champions. Let's do it. Yeah, well, let's hope that's the case. I was saying yesterday, the last two times we got relegated from this division, we did win our opening game of the season, but I don't think we went on to win two in those seasons, so I think we're now safe from relegation, thankfully. Right, Liz says, looking forward to it, boys. Lots to talk about. What a win yesterday. Four of us were listening from Cardiff. Great commentary from Greg and from Tom at the Four Nations tournament in Cardiff. England winning at the moment. Charlton always winning. Lovely job. There we go. Gavin says, Johnny Williams was such a joy to watch yesterday. My only worry is he'll only continue to get more and more excellent, and then Barcelona will nab him off us in January. That is the danger when you are as good as us, is that, you know, the European giants are going to come in for Naby, for Johnny Williams, for Josh Cullen. We might be down to Fredbear squad again. If Real Madrid come and hijack all our players, what are we going to do? Nothing we can do about it. Right, Reese. Good if we miss out. It's talking about the transfer window. I've been asking you guys what you've made of the transfer window as a whole. Reese says, it's a good one if we miss out on Hemed. If it's a great one if we get him. If we don't get Hemed, we're definitely a striker short, but it could have been so much worse. Yeah, so if Hemed doesn't come in, Lewis, we probably are a striker short, fair to say. We've got Chucks, who can come and play up top. Obviously, we've got Lyle Taylor, who does the business. But, you know, if we suffer a knock-up there, then we could be in trouble quite quickly.
Yeah, I think we would be short. I imagine he would call on pushing Chucks out of the favoured number 10 and pushing him up top alongside...
I think Lecco can play there.
And Lecco can play there too, yeah. Macaulay Bonn.
I mean, if you get Hemed, probably get a chance.
I think if you get Hemed in, there could be potential that... He loans Macaulay Bonn out to a League One club or a League Two club, potentially.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I know, obviously he's one for the future. I just think if you've got Hemed, Taylor, Chucks, and potentially Lecco in front of you.
It would be interesting because you can still loan players out for the next couple of weeks to League One and to League Two. So we'll see. Right, Mark Foley said it was an incredible transfer window for Charlton this year. I can't remember a transfer window like it. We have made some great signings, and most importantly, we kept hold of Lyle Taylor. To play the way he did yesterday after what must have been a very difficult week for him just sums the guy up. Quality with two goals in two games. Right, David Letchford, on the game yesterday, I thought we did well. We got the three midfielders in that I believe has made us stronger, and one striker in as well with energy to burn. I'm just worried that we did not get another experienced forward in, as I think Taylor gets injured or a ban, we could be in trouble up front. Michael Broad said it was a great window. Billy says still light up top after the window, even if we do get Hemed sorted. Keeping Lyle is massive and great to get Cullen back. Best part of the summer for me was keeping Boya and the coaching staff. What a what a chap Gallen is. Bohemian Chapsody. There you go. Will Bonham with his weekly weekly reminder of the only six words you need this season. Believe in Boya and keep the faith. John says, I like the look of Lecco. Thought we did good business in the window overall, but time will tell. Rob Waghorn, the team spirit this group of players has is unique. I cannot recall one like it. They seem to enjoy celebrating goals together and with the fans so much. It's great to watch. So much credit to Bose, Jacko and the backroom team. Liam again said, I'm not getting ahead of myself. I will take staying up. Anything more is a bonus with the wage structure at the club. What about Fred? What's he got to say? He says, what about we are top 10 come January 1st or even higher? I think he says January the 1st, not as in we'll be first in January the 1st. But he says, does Roland think does Roland wet his pants and then think we can get to the promised land Premier League and give us a few million so he can up the price for a sale? Do you think he'd do that?
He'll probably wet his pants anyway, is
yeah.
it, his age.
Yeah. We've got an email from Terry coming up soon, actually.
Who knows what's going to happen in, with that Belgian waffle?
It's hard to predict the future in a lot of ways in terms of where we're going to be, in terms of how he acts. I was sort of said, chatting away with someone this afternoon saying, like, it's very, you know, you'd expect him to have accepted a £4 million bid for Lyle Taylor, for example. Mm. It's hard to predict where he's going to go with stuff. But Fred then continues, concern would be a few injuries to key players and we are unable to cover like for like. Also, Taylor contract is major concern if he won't sign the extension. Yeah, well, it's on the table. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Right, Lee Elliott says we just need 11 more wins. We're not quite halfway there, but we've got two so far and that will get us safely, hopefully. Sebo, right, touch wood, the momentum of Wembley and the momentum of Bowyer on Bauer on 93 minutes and 54 seconds is carrying through. It means I can enjoy my birthday tomorrow in Bo, Jacko, Gallen, Marshall and Basie, we trust. Up the mighty Addicts, LA. Seb Lewis's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Seb. In my opinion, that should be a national holiday.
It should be, really, yeah. Minimum. Not just because I want Monday off tomorrow, but because
it's Seb. Get it out to Bromley as well if we're doing a national holiday for Seb. But you have a great birthday, mate. Dr. Lazarus Roland has been wetting his pants. Why is everyone saying Roland wetting his pants for quite some years now? You'd think it'd be age-related. It's a shoe. It's if you've got an alter ego on Twitter, Mark. But it was an adverse reaction to his teeth bleaching agent, which is a shame. Well, there you go. Right, Paul Ferguson, an incredible start to the season. Staying up must be the focus, and anything else is a bonus. We have a small squad which will play its part, but on yesterday's showing, we've got nothing to worry about. What a find that Conor Gallagher is. Yeah, certainly is. We've got a couple of tweets from Terry, which we got an email coming up from yesterday. Mark Anderson, a week is a long time in politics and football, boys. The red side salute Lee Bowyer's Red Army. Right, Alex Rogans was at the game yesterday. Team gave everything to a man, Williams, Gallagher, Cullen and Prattley in the midfield. All absolutely ran themselves into the ground. Having depth to the squad now will be key. The Valley was rocking and the Red Robin was bobbing up the Addicts. And Dale gets involved. Fantastic day. She was leading the singing yesterday. Fantastic day yesterday back at the Valley. I think the boys still need to get a bit of time to gel together, but they were still brilliant and the fans were amazing. Roll on next week. Right, Vital Charlton, what a performance by the lads. Gallagher was man of the match for me, and the atmosphere in the Covered End was electric as always. Let's keep it going. Mark Anderson's also got back involved though, saying he didn't celebrate the third goal with as much vigour as usual, because he had Lyle first goal scorer and Charlton 2-1, 40-1. So he's probably slightly gutted about that. But yeah, I'm sure he doesn't mind too much. Charlton win is much better than money anyway.
He won't be gutted when we get promoted by one goal.
Exactly. He's probably got, hopefully he's got 50 quid on that as well. Right, Darren Ellis, great start to the season and really happy with the way we played yesterday, although a bit fortunate at times, but really happy with the players brought in, but can't get too carried away. It is still going to be a long and a tough season. Douglas Rose says, I like the look of the young lad Brendan Wiradu in pre-season. I hope he gets some games. Yeah, he might get the odd game, I imagine, Brendan, but
might play midweek.
Yeah, certainly in the cup game. If we get a chance, we will look ahead to the cup game with Forest Green, which is coming up here at the Valley on Tuesday evening as well. Right, if saying that Killer's beard is a poor thing because he's out on holiday, but like I say, we'll come to that as well. And Seb wanted to add in that we must remember Brett, the analyst, in our praise as well. Shinpad pointing out that Mario Balotelli is still a free agent. Mark, are you interested in a bit of Mario? Might crash the wage budget slightly.
Mario Kart, yes. Mario Balotelli, no.
No, that's a shame. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. And also, we're going to wave goodbye to Mark Newry because, as we mentioned, he has got two young children he needs looking after. So he's only been let out for an hour. So, Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here.
Thank you for having me back in the studio.
Yeah, and we look forward to seeing you over and over again for the course of the rest of the season. Glory Hunter, because we won two games, he's back in the studio. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. You guys run away. Hopefully you'll be back by the time we come back from this. We'll see you back in 30 seconds or so here on Charlton Live.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there, Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Charlton.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live. Lewis Catt has just broken the land speed record running upstairs to let Mark out
and
get back to the studio in time during that advert. Well done.
Oh, it's good. People said Lecco was pacey yesterday.
Yeah. And you had some end product as well because you're back in your chair.
I did, so back there in my chair.
Yeah, excellent performance there from Lewis. So, yeah, thanks to Mark. He's gone back to look after the twins. But, yeah, great to have him back in the studio. We've still got plenty of emails and messages to read out here on Charlton Live. We're enjoying chatting with you guys. So much fun to do the show when we've had a result like we had yesterday, you know, really solid home win that everyone was enjoying as well. So let's have a listen to what some other people had to say over email. The first one comes in from Steve Hearn. Fantastic day yesterday at the Valley. It's such a wonderful time to be a Charlton fan at the moment. Lecco and Gallagher were outstanding, along with all of the team, of course. My only criticism is playing out from the back. We just seem so uncomfortable doing it. Most of the pressure Stoke had was when we lost the ball in our own half. Even with 5 to 10 minutes left to go, we were still doing it. Get it up to Taylor and Anike, no messing. Yeah, so, I mean, we touched on it earlier. I guess it's about finding that right balance. And Boya, it was interesting to hear him come out and say, he's almost implying, look, there's going to be a little bit of collateral damage when we try and play it out from the back. But it's sort of like you have to do it, because if you do just keep hoofing the ball up, it's going to come back a lot more often in this division than it did in League One.
Oh, definitely. And I think, like we said, it's a new defensive partnership. You know, we played out of the back last season quite well, but you could argue, you'd say one of the best players playing out of the back was Naby Sarr, and he got caught last week a little bit. I think it's just a case you don't really get as much time on the ball in this division as you do in League One. I think with this rule with the goal kicks as well, everyone's always on the press, so you've never really got enough time sort of to dilly dally on the ball. And we did that a few times last season and got away with it because we had the time and the space. But well, we haven't got that anymore. We probably need to adapt our game a little bit. But yeah, it was in terms of actual collateral damage yesterday, there wasn't a huge amount. The goal didn't come from that at all. So it's just going to be practice makes perfect, as they say, and I'm sure that it'll improve as the season goes on. You know, you always get nervy moments, heart in mouth, when it's playing out from the back, any side, not just Charlton. So I think that once we get settled this season with it, I think it'll be a lot better.
Yeah, hopefully. So unless you're Barcelona or you're Spain from 5 or 6 years ago, you are going to give the ball away when you try that. But at the same time, it takes pressure off yourself when you do it right, because if you're forever pumping it forwards, the ball will come back. So it's a tough balance to find. It does make you nervous, certainly. It makes me nervous as well. But at the same time, like I say, sometimes you have to do it. Right, Jake's got involved. Evening, Jake. Firstly, love the show. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Cheers for that, Jake. Secondly, what a win yesterday. Walking to the Valley, I felt slightly confident, but I didn't think we'd be walking away with a 3-1 victory. I thought Cullen carried on how we finished last year. Gallagher looks a superb talent and has one hell of an engine on him, and the fitness of Pratley astonishes me. I think we're only just now seeing a fully fit Johnny Williams, and he is dangerous. Leko looks like Fosu on steroids, and Anike is a beast. Excited to see the additions of Field, Kyle, and hopefully Hemed too. Boya and his team are working miracles. Long may it last. That's all the best from Jake. Yeah, cheers for that, Jake. Yeah, he mentions the engine on Gallagher, but also the fitness of Darren Pratley. Now, I remember when Darren came to speak to us at the Player of the Year dinner last year, you know, he was sort of saying, look, you know, I am one of the older ones, but I do feel like I have, you know, fitness levels to match the younger ones. I think we do see that when he plays.
Definitely. I think these two opening games of the season, Darren Pratley's been one of the most standout performers, because he doesn't just settle the game in terms of the fact we have a young squad and they probably need that experience head in there to sort of calm it down a little bit, stop them from doing anything too rash. I think that just his overall reading of the game, and of course he's not the most glamorous footballer, and he's not going to give you the step overs and the blistering runs that the crowd want to see, but he's going to keep the ball comfortable, keep the team comfortable, retain possession when required, make runs back to defence and cover when required, and he's a really important body to have. And even speaking to him at the Player of the Year, you can see that he's very well respected by the younger players, and you can see that he's a popular figure among the playing staff and the coaching squad as well. And also, you know, I've really enjoyed having him here as well. I think he's a really important cog in the Lee Bowyer promotion to the Premier League machine.
Definitely happening. Right, and I mean, Jake also mentioned like the likes of Sam Field, Kyle coming in, you know, players that are going to add to this squad as well, which will be exciting to see as the season goes on. Paul Hawkins, just a short one, says that Charlton have got a midfield to rival anyone in this league at this moment in time. Well, hopefully that'll be the case. Right, Terry Smith has managed to tear himself away from a sun lounger and I dare say a few fruity cocktails. he's on holiday out in Greece to send us an email. Evening, Tell. Looking forward to having you back, of course. Saga holiday, apparently, according to Mark.
Go on, Tell.
Yeah. he's that age now, isn't he? Right. Having listened to all of the magnificent Blackburn away victory on Valley Pass last week, my anticipation levels, despite having a tinge of sadness that I wouldn't actually be at the Valley, were high as we took on Stoke. For whatever reason, and I'm blaming a large intake of Dutch to the hotel. Okay, racist. The Wi-Fi decided to crash, so I was only getting intermittent sound bites of Greg and Tom, so I missed the first 3 goals as I was desperately trying to get a connection, then somehow managed to land on a hooky YouTube channel with a Stoke commentary team. They were convinced that they should be 4-1 up and any other result was a travesty of justice. When Connor bagged his first and our third, the despair was beautifully painful on the ears. We had the temerity to put a recently relegated Premier League side still awash with top class players to the valiant sword, and they couldn't handle it. We can only hope that the rest of the championship take on the Addicts with a similar cavalier attitude, and just as Lee predicted, we'll go on a journey. Just as he predicted, we'll get promotion. As he predicted, we'll surprise a few teams, and he did, and I think we already have. Ignore Lee Bowyer at your peril. Have a great show, guys. Sadly, the lore of cocktails, Greek food, and an open air concert have just edged you out, so I'll be listening to the podcast by the pool tomorrow. That's Yamas from Terry Smith. Sounds like he's living at the high life out in Greece, really. He lives the high life wherever he goes, Terry, though. He's having a good time. Yeah, I mean, we spoke to Martin Spinks from the Stoke Online website during the week, local journalist up there, and obviously, you know, he was very honest. He said it probably was a bit of a shock how Stoke found the championship last season. They need to get that out of their heads, really, and because they will underestimate teams like Charlton
massively. And they remind me a lot of us when we first got relegated from the Premier League, and we really struggled to adapt to the championship in terms of the physicality and the amount of games and the tough trips that you face and everything like that. I think that they really do need to get it out of the system now, because they're going to struggle otherwise. And yeah, they've got big money players on that pitch. They've got big names and people that maybe should be playing in the Premier League like Jack Butland's an England international goalkeeper, and he struggled to handle us yesterday. And I think that they need to be careful, because you can very easily end up dropping down another division unexpectedly. We know how that feels. It's happened to a lot of clubs. It's happened to the Southamptons, Norwich, Sheffield United, all these clubs that have taken that plummet. They've got to be careful, because once those parachute payments dry up, if they're not pushing for the top six or looking at getting back in the Premier League, they could be in big trouble.
Certainly. Right, Mark Waite, fantastic start to the season. A lot better than a lot of supporters thought, myself included. My main concern would be injuries to key players and being able to replace them like for like. Also, Cullen has got a call back clause in January if West Ham are struggling. Yeah. That could be interesting, because obviously this is the last year of his contract. So if West Ham think they can cash in January, they might well do that. Hopefully that won't be the case. But yeah, like for like players, if the squad's getting fattened out a little bit, so we might be okay in some cases, but certainly striker, perhaps right back, we're seeing at the moment, if Solly gets injured, we're probably going to have to put Deji there or Brendan. Deji, not really his natural position. Brendan, still very young, still very raw. So there are dangers that there could be holes in the squad in certain positions, but we hope that won't turn out to be the case. 100% Charlton on Twitter wanted to point out that yesterday he said exactly the same thing, that Darren Prattley didn't stop running all game. And CFC Wheeler's asking, just curious and wondering if you know why the club haven't released a DVD of the full game at Wembley. Yeah, I don't know why they haven't. They really should, because I imagine that'll be a bestseller. So you can listen to the full Valley Pass commentary on our Charlton Live podcast feed. If you scroll back towards the summer, just while we weren't on air after the summer, the final show of the summer, I did put out the full commentary feed, and it is a good way to listen to that and really sort of transport yourself back to that superb day at Wembley Stadiums. Yeah, so if you're getting nostalgic for that day, have a look on the Charlton Live podcast feed. Right, Duncan Brand, wow, yesterday I was not expecting that. Despite a few nervous moments trying to play out from the back, a near faultless performance from all the players. Gallagher, Cullen, Taylor and Williams will get a lot of the praise, rightly so, but special mention to Prattley, who was immense at breaking up the play and stopping Joe Allen. We'll take a lot of confidence from the first two games. We can compete and we can win games in this league. Yeah, another mention for Darren Prattley. It's great to see. Pointing out the way he sort of had to stop Joe Allen. We saw it last week when he had to stop Bradley Dack. I mean, yeah. If you're a creative midfielder coming to play against Charlton at the moment, you won't fancy having Darren Prattley breathing down your neck for 90 minutes.
Absolutely not. I think he's done himself no harm, has he? I think he's just, like I've said earlier, professionalism, his experience is absolutely paramount to how we get on this season. I think that he's just so important in and around the club. Like I say, he won't make the headlines in terms of screamers. Well, he did at Shrewsbury last year, but he's not going to do the glamorous stuff. He's not going to make the headlines all the time, but he's very, very important, and he'll keep us calm when maybe we're sort of under the cosh, because there are going to be difficult games this season. We're saying now how good it is and everything. We know that, and the positivity train is going to keep on chugging, I'm sure, but there are going to be difficult tests in this division. We are going to lose games, and we are going to struggle in some places. And someone like Darren Prattley, who's been in this division for a lot of his career and higher, is going to be so important in terms of just calming the heads of the younger boys and letting them know that it's not the be all and end all, and that it's down to sort of it's in your own hands to sort of build it up and get back in there. And I've got so much belief in this squad, and having people like Darren in there only makes it better.
Yeah, like I say, we will lose a game or two this season. It's when, what happens? What happens when we lose three in a row? That's how you react from that. That's going to be important, and that'd be interesting to see. Right, Len's got involved. Right, this was sent before yesterday's game. So talking more about the transfer window, because I was asking for your opinion on our work in the transfer window towards the end of last week. Len says, wow, it's Friday lunchtime. I've just about recovered from the events of the last 48 hours. I think it has made me realise that despite constantly singing his praises a lot, I still underestimate the real asset that we must not lose. Although I thought we would struggle if we lost Lyle Taylor, the reality is that Boya will find a way. It is Boya who has made me want to go to Charlton again. It is Boya who has made me want to get a season ticket again. It is Boya who provides the magic ingredient that makes us grin like Cheshire Cats. That's not to underestimate Steve Gallen, Jacko and the staff, or the importance of Lyle Taylor and the team. But in my mind, whoever sent the messages that caused Lyle to delete his Twitter account is not a Charlton supporter, but surely Boya is destined for big things in football. I am now considering renewing my season ticket after several seasons without one. Do I care if Duchatelet gets a few extra quid out of me? Do I think about Duchatelet when I go to games? No, absolutely not. At least we don't have the problems that Berry is struggling with. Looking forward to seeing Lyle Taylor playing with the new signings we've made. I don't expect miracles, but it's hard to see us struggling in the relegation zone. Roll on Saturday. Yes, I'm sure Len loved it on Saturday. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, we saw the crowd yesterday. We should point out that was a 17,000 crowd. Obviously, 2,500 there from Stoke. But it does feel like that. It's clear that a number of fans are coming back now. The crowds were low in the League One days. You know, some people will be boycotting. Some people just don't want to see League One football. Of course, there's plenty of reasons why. But Lee Bowyer is certainly getting those fans back through the turnstiles. And we've said it many times. But I mean, the covered end was bouncing yesterday, but the rest of the ground was joining in as well. And, you know, no matter what's going on off the pitch with the owner, in the building, in the valley, there's something really to get behind and support, isn't there?
Yeah, and you know what? There was a real special moment yesterday when the covered end started a stand-up, If You Love Charlton, and the whole ground were on their feet singing. And it was amazing. It was hairs up on the back of your neck moment. And yeah, he's put it really well there, actually, in the email about not, you know, not caring really if Ronan's getting a few extra quid out of your season ticket. I mean, you should, if you want to watch your football club, then crack on and do it. I understand why people want to boycott, of course I do, but at the same time, something special is going on here at the moment with what you're spectating. You know, Ronan's not watching us. He's not overly bothered what goes on. So you just turn up in your masses and back Lee Bowyer, because he sure as hell does care what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's really good what we've got going at the moment. It feels special. And you know, Bowyer says go on a journey. I think to anybody that is still sort of umming and ahhing over a season ticket and is slightly tempted, I'd say to them, do it. I'd say go for it. Get on the journey, because it's great. You know, like I said earlier, with Bowyer motivating players and earning the respect of his players and wanting to play for him, he not only does that with the players, but with me having Lee Bowyer in charge of my football club, it makes me want to get online after every game on a Saturday and look at when the next away ticket's on sale or when the cup tickets are on sale. It makes me want to be here. I'd spend my entire week looking forward to coming to watch my football club again, and it's really special. And I think people that aren't on, maybe sort of are on the fence a little bit at the moment whether to come back, I think you should look at, yeah, get online, look at the videos of the place, look at how people are getting on and communicating, and fans are having the best times and everything. It's worth coming down and enjoying it, because I sure as hell am, and I'm pretty sure everyone else is too.
Charlton Juggernaut is streaming along nicely. You want to get on board with it. Right, we've just had an email coming from David, which we'll come to shortly. But Bob says, just a few thoughts on our transfer dealings. It is possible that when Lee Bowyer agreed his contract, he told Roland that while he wouldn't go over budget, any money raised by player sales had to go back into spending on the team and would not have to go back to Roland to spend it. Knowing he needed to strengthen the side, Lee looked at his assets and decided Dixtel was the one he could raise a fair amount on without spending too much to replace. Is it possible that Dixtel was encouraged to leave by a small contract offer on Bowyer's say-so? I also think a similar case was happening with Taylor, where if Lee could have got a replacement in plus another £1 million, Lyle would have gone, all without having to go to Roland for permission. That's it's an interesting point you've made there, Bob. Now, I was told actually during the week before Dixtel actually left that the reason, and it effectively was put on the website as well through what Bowyer said about it being a footballing decision, but I was told that Roland basically said to Bowyer, you don't have to sell Dixtel if you don't want to. If you do, you can have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of movement in what you do with that money. That's what we were told. So I imagine he could have turned around and said no, but as Bowyer said on the website himself, it was a footballing decision. I can't imagine it's quite in his contract as such, because I'm sure Roland would still like to enjoy a little bit of money that would come in from player sales. But there certainly was that situation. Talking about the Lyle Taylor thing, I mean, we were told we were bidding £4 million for Ivan Toney down at Peterborough, so there's no way we would have been bidding that unless Taylor is going to be that Taylor money, surely. But yeah, Bob's email goes on. We have to accept the economics of football, something I think Lee Bowyer and Steve Gullen know much better than us, yep, and realise that Lee can be ruthless in his dealings if he has to be. Of course, I might be totally wrong, but the £4 million offered for Tony seems more likely from this scenario than Roland having a change in heart and making the money available. Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened there, Bob. Yeah, cheers for your email. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there pretty much with what was happening during the week. Right, Caps getting involved. Last year's loans were the most successful loanees in Charlton's history. Every single one of them came off, including Maxwell, who may not have touched a blade of valley grass in anger, but pushed Phillips to improve. It will take a lot to surpass last year's intake, but Gallen and Bow have done a great job in, as ever, difficult circumstances. Suddenly, the season is alive again. Yeah, that was Cap on the closure of the transfer window. And again, that was sent before the Stoke game. So I'm sure Cap's feeling even more positive now about the on-the-field antics. Well, let's have that email that's just dropped in from David Todman as well. Hi, guys. An excellent result. Stoke started strongly and Gregory's clever push before the header made the goal caught out Lockie. Yeah, so when the long ball came over, Gregory did win the header. When you watch it back, there does seem to be a little bit of leaning into it. It's perhaps why Lockie didn't win that, which I'm sure a lot of cheeky little strikers will try and get away with. After that incident, Allen played a lot in front of our defence, but the Stoke lack of pace and penetration was their downfall. Gallagher just got better after an early misplaced couple of passes. Cullen and Prattley fought hard, and Lecco looks a potential match winner. Johnny Williams stretched Stoke and takes real punishment from some shocking tackles. Yeah, he certainly does. Credit to Lyle Taylor for getting on with it and playing well. But the most important thing, it was an enjoyable day. Smiles on all our faces again. Cheers for your email, David Todman. Again, I think you've summed it up quite nicely, what we saw at the Valley here yesterday. We've still got 10 minutes to go here on Charlton Live. We've still got a couple of messages on the Charlton Live forum to share with you guys as well. But let's have a quick break. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the Forest Green Cup game as well. We'll be back here in 30 seconds or so.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Lyle Taylor has a glorious chance on his Addicts debut. Give Charlton a lead. A referee blows the whistle. Taylor steps up. Lyle Taylor.
Yes! Charlton! Charlton take the lead after 9 minutes. Lyle Taylor on his Charlton debut gives the away side an unlikely lead.
There we go, Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening or on the podcast afterwards. Don't forget, if you're listening via podcast, make sure you hit subscribe in your Acast app or your iTunes app. The more people that subscribe to us, the better it is, really. It gets downloaded directly to your phone or to your device, however you listen it, automatically, so you don't have to go and dig it out and find it for us. But also, the more subscribers we get, the more ever so slightly small bit of advertising revenue we'll get from Acast or from whoever, which we can spend on new equipment that we're using so far this season. There's still a couple of bits we want to get as well, actually, so yeah, make sure you subscribe. I hope you're enjoying your podcast as well, so cheers for everyone who's getting involved as well, because it's making the show go very quickly for us. Right, here we go. Right, this is from Stuart. Okay, I'm going to have to tidy this one up a little bit. I'm 71, and I don't wee my pants, Sonny Jim, and nor do most 71-year-olds. Bit of respect, you cheeky so-and-sos. You'll be 71 yourself one day if someone doesn't fill you in the meantime. I'm very angry at your totally unnecessary, demeaning comment. My one remaining project in life is to die young whilst at the same time going on to live for as long as possible. There you go. So whoever emailed in about the 71-year-olds doing that, there you go. That's from Stuart Oop North. So if whoever sent that tweet in, I won't be going Oop North if I was you.
Oop North.
Yeah, I'll be telling Mark Newby that next time we see him as well. Cheers for your email, Stuart there. Thank you very much. Right, a couple of messages. Mendonca and Asda's saying, hearing the podcast back recently, very good by the way, you predicted Charlton to get 110 points, Louis. I thought that was a tad optimistic, but now I'm thinking we might get 120. The Aldi cider is giving Bowyer's players wings. Any flowing in the studio tonight? No, we still haven't had any anyone sending some Aldi cider. Come on, we've been plugging it all week now. Come on.
Maybe if we beat Millwall.
Maybe if we beat Millwall or something, but we definitely want some Aldi cider to keep us going for the rest of the season. Right, Coops has also got involved in the Charlton Life Forum. Evening, gents. Fantastic result yesterday and just about deserved it. Thought the crowd were exceptional. Hardly heard the Stoke fans. Indeed, we can make the Valley a fortress. On to Saturday now at Barnsley. Get a win there after Tuesday League Cup game. Up the Addicts. Regards. That's from Gary Cooper in Woolwich. Says, please ask Mr. Cole to read out the halftime scores. I notice it has not happened for the last few games of last season, yesterday either, and all of us have fancy internet phones to check other scores. So there you go, that's a message for Brian Cole. I know he listens to the podcast. The fans want to hear the scores read out at half time, and even if you do have fancy internet phones, everyone gets a phone out at half time and it just dies and you can't get hold of the internet after that, so it's a bloody nightmare. So go on, Brian, read out the halftime scores, give the audience what they want. Right, let's start thinking about the Forest Green game coming up Tuesday evening. Bowyer did promise changes, didn't he? Speaking with Tom there, saying, but you know, it's all well and good saying change. Obviously, last year in the first round of that League Cup, we went up to Milton Keynes and put out the children and we lost 3-0. And it was a bit of a painful evening, really, for some of the youngsters. But this year, there will be youngsters coming in. But also, there's going to be new signings who we haven't seen, the likes of Sam Field, or perhaps returning players like Jake Forster-Caskey, who needs to get some fitness as well. So that it could be a good game to come down and perhaps see some players who you're looking forward to seeing but haven't had a chance to yet.
Yeah, definitely. And it'll be a good opportunity for the likes of Sam Field to get some minutes under his belt in a Charlton shirt without having to, you know, with no real horrendous travel involved either. You know, it's a home game as well, which will be nice. And like you say there, I imagine Jake will get some minutes. I imagine Chucks might get, maybe he'll get 90 minutes or something like that after coming back from the injury. Probably see Macaulay Bonn as well, Albie Morgan, Lapsley. You know, good name. We've got good names in there. Ben Amos as well. I think Pagey's probably still injured, isn't he, at the moment? So he probably won't feature, I imagine. But Brendan Wiredu will be around. Nabi Sarr, potentially. There's names in there. It's a very different squad to sort of this time last year when we did have to take all the 23s up to MK and they sort of got it handed to them a little bit, didn't they? That could have been the making of some players. I think Lapo went up there and Albie went up there and they ended up being in and around the first team picture last season and impressing. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. I imagine there'll be, as he says there, there'll be wholesale changes, but I'd like to think that it'll probably take the cup a little bit seriously this year. Nice little cup run. Won't do any harm, really. But.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue, of course, that any win in any competition will help to breed a little bit of confidence, but yeah, I mean, Bowyer doesn't necessarily take the cup games the most seriously in terms of the team he'll put out. But like I say, he's sort of said, yeah, you mentioned Macaulay Bourne, he says he'll get some minutes, Forster-Caskey, Sam Field. It says Sam hasn't really played too many minutes in pre-season, so he's a bit behind. So therefore, these minutes will add to that for him. And yeah, a big chance for Macaulay Bourne as well. Scored a goal in pre-season. Says himself, he admits he's not ready for the championship, but you know, there's only one way to become ready for championship, and that's playing more games. So it'd be interesting to see how he gets on Tuesday evening.
Yeah, definitely. And there were spells with Macaulay Bonn in pre-season where I thought there was a lot of promise there. He got his goal up at
Dagenham.
Was it Dagenham? It was, wasn't it? Yeah, and that was a brilliant finish. And it's just about, you know, adapting yourself to this league. It is a hell of a jump for him. You know, he was playing non-league last year. To jump up to the second tier is huge, but it's also a credit to him and how well he did do for Orient last year, and that he is still young. He's got a big career ahead of him, and I think that these sort of games are ideal for him to get some minutes and show people what he's about. Because we probably, in our, as it stands, we probably wouldn't take the risk to play him in the league games unless we were a little, you know, unless we were 4-0 up or 3-0 up or something. Maybe we'd stick him on towards the end, but I think this sort of game is ideal for somebody like Macaulay Bond to show Lee Bowyer and show Charlton fans what he's all about.
Berham Kyle's going to be missing. He's got a slight injury, so that'll be interesting to see again how long it takes him to sort of catch up. It's going to be a first ever competitive meeting with Forest Green. We did play him in a friendly a few years ago. It's one of those fixtures where when it came out, if it was away from home, I'm like, well, at least it's a new ground, but you would have to take some time off work to go to it. So it would have been a slight hassle, but they've had a mixed start to the season. They beat Oldham 1-0 at home and then drew away at Walsall yesterday 1-1. Conceded a late equaliser actually against Walsall yesterday, but you know, nice to test yourselves against a new opponent, a League Two opponent, so we would be expected to go out there and win. I keep forgetting we're actually in the Championship, so now we're two divisions above them, but you know, sometimes these League Cup games could be a bit of a laugh really as well on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about Cup games being a laugh, you only got to look back at mine and Nath's commentary gig last year, the 8-0 Stevenage. So yeah, if you're thinking of coming down to the Valley on Tuesday, I'd recommend it just in case there's a 9-0 or an 8-0. You never know.
You don't want to be missing the 9-0 win over Forest Green, do
definitely
you, as well?
Not.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's a strange club, the club that sort of thrives on advertising themselves as like a completely meat-free club. Like you can't buy a burger when you go there, you buy tofu or something like that. But
just as well it wasn't away then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would have stocked up before we got there. So that is it on Tuesday evening, the Addicts in action against Forest Green Rovers, looking to build on our perfect start to the Championship season, but certainly looking to keep that momentum going, see if we can get through to the next round when some of the bigger Premier League clubs will join the draw as well. Right, we're coming towards the end of this evening's Charlton Live. It's absolutely flown by. Thank you to Mark Newbury, who was here earlier and had to shoot off because he's got childcare to attend to, and thank you to Lewis Catt for coming in as well.
No problem, mate.
Been Louis Meadows. Thanks to all of you who've joined in via the tweets and the emails and the message board posts this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. We'll be back here on Thursday evening, which will be the big match preview, which will be looking ahead to next Saturday's trip up to Barnsley. On that show, we'll also hear from Josh Cullen as well. We'll hear his interview after yesterday's game. We'll hear from Lee Bowyer as well, hopefully looking ahead to that trip up to Barnsley. Of course, we'll look back at whatever happens against Forest Green Rovers here on Tuesday evening. So that has been Charlton Live. Hope you've enjoyed it. Three more points for the Addicts. Another brilliant day here at the Valley yesterday. I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here on Thursday evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.